This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark, Sharitz Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. Now, we may soon have a new immigration and border control system in the country. The Home Ministry has issued a proposal for the development of a new integrated immigration system for the Immigration Department, which would replace the 3.5 billion ringgit system Kawalan Immigration Nasional, which was approved by the previous administration and terminated 5 months ago.
Yeah, this is a source from Starbiz, which said that the sale of the tender document has seen an overwhelming response. This news comes amid the ongoing 733 million ringgit claim by Prestariang against the government for the unilateral termination of SKIN. Prestariang initiated the claim after negotiations with the government on a compensation for contract termination, which came to a dead end. Our Home Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, he has previously said that the decision to cancel SKIN was based on a need for a more comprehensive and efficient and user-friendly system. I do like the word user-friendly and comprehensive. I think a lot of us would probably benefit, especially those with family. And he also said that the new system has to have better value of money. For money.
The government is looking to save ways with this new system, but it's unclear how much it would save if it actually loses its legal case and has to pay 730 million ringgit to Prestariang. Now, some background on SKIN. Under the multi-billion ringgit deal, Prestariang was required to design, deliver, maintain and provide updates for an immigration system which will replace MyIMMS, the Malaysian Immigration System. This old system was built in the 1990s and led to instances of border control compromise and the government unable to carry out threat assessments. Now, PSKIN said earlier that the payment terms of SKIN were not burdensome to the government, and in the first 3 years from 2018 to 2020, Prestariang was supposed to develop and deploy the system. Payments by the government would only commence in 2021, and SKIN was initially for Prestariang. As a result of this cancellation, their share price has really collapsed from a high of 132 last year to now only 32 cents, because this was their big project for them.
733 million project, that is huge.
Yes,
but there's also been some other immigration stories in the news today, particularly one from the HR Ministry. So the Cabinet will most likely reinstate the foreign workers replacement system for all sectors in order to help resolve the shortage of labour in the country. Now, under the old system, HR Minister M. Kulasegaran has called to be reinstated, employers could apply for a replacement after applying for a checkout memo from the Immigration Department for foreign workers. And this system was put on hold in 2017. So currently, employers are forced to undergo the normal application process to get replacement workers. Basically, they have to start a whole new application.
Yeah, so HR Minister M. Kulasegaran says that the current system is costly and time-consuming, and he says that the ministry is suggesting an automatic replacement in cases where workers have left the country for good. So we're speaking about just dropping a note to the government if it's based on the old system, but because it's been put on hold, everything a new application process has to be submitted, and it's causing a lot of problems to current businesses, especially in renewing their the work permit for their current foreign workers. And meanwhile, I think some employers they are complaining that they face a lot of difficulties hiring foreign workers, particularly when foreign workers need to be replaced once they've left Malaysia.
And obviously this is a very big problem when you're talking about very labour intensive industries, like for example the plantations industry. But speaking of which, Sime Darby Plantation is highlighting that their commitment to sustainability with the launch of a new online tool that lets the public trace sources of palm oil. Now, the online open access tool is called CrossCheck, very on the nose. Its launch is in line with their new commitment to the No Deforestation, No Peat, No Exploitation, or NDPE policy. And their executive deputy chairman and managing director, Tan Sri Mohamed Bakir Saleh, acknowledged that global customers are pushing for palm oil that isn't associated with deforestation. So I guess this this open access tool is designed to provide that transparency and allay those concerns.
Yes, it provides a map that shows off all the mills that supply Sime Darby's plantation refineries. The map highlights key risk areas around the mills, like forests and animal habitats. There are also satellite maps which can show evidence of deforestation, if any is going on. And information on the owners of the mills are also available to access. Their Chief Sustainable Officer, Dr. Simon Lord, highlighted that action will be taken against non-compliant players along the supply chain, and this includes suspension with the opportunity for future re-engagement.
Yeah, so I mean, we're looking at our recent engagement with the EU and his response. The CEO of Upstream, Mohamed Helmi Osman Basha, says that Siam Dabi plantation will see a minimal impact on the EU limit on the use of palm oil in biofuel. So I mean, just relating to all this transparency, the system that has been put in place, which will allow consumers to track where their palm oil is coming from, whether or not it's going to change the position of the EU. EU Commission has introduced this. We know some of the things is that the EU has introduced a certification system which restricts the type of biofuels from palm oils and that would count as renewable energy. And Malaysia and EU has been at loggerheads over it. So, again, whether or not we could change the stance of EU despite the implementation of all this, progressive system.
I mean, this is a deeply political issue within the European Union because the governments there have basically made, I guess, palm oil is the stand-in almost for the concept of deforestation. So the public opinion of it is very bad. And therefore, that translates into the politicians. So it's no wonder that they have been pushing for this extension of the palm oil ban the ban on the use of palm oil in biofuels. It's not an outright ban, but it does impact something like 30% of the of imports into the European Union. And Siam Dabi is probably going to be affected by this, considering it's the world's largest oil palm plantation company by planted area. They produce about 4% of the global crude palm oil output. Now, from yesterday, the European Commission introduced a certification system as well, which restricts the type of biofuels from palm oil that would count as renewable energy. And this, they had a 2-month observation period of the rule. But now those 2 months are up, and it has been confirmed, and the new rules are going to be effective on the 10th of June. And these restrictions are part of the EU's attempts to lead the battle against climate change.
Now, the EU has said there will be some exemptions to smallholders to placate producer countries, and the limit for small farms is 2 hectares. The EU is an important market for Malaysia because they currently account for 12% of Malaysia's palm oil exports in 2018. It is the biggest buyer after India. In 2018, Malaysia exported 1.19 million tonnes of palm oil to EU countries. At the same time, we exported 2.51 million tonnes to India. So roughly 1/3 of palm oil imported into EU actually goes to biodiesel production, with the rest actually going into food and chemical industries.
Now, one of the pushbacks against this decision by the EU is that it would be impacting the livelihoods of small farmers, and they have said that there will be some exemptions. Excuse me, I've completely mangled that word. Exemptions to smallholders to placate producer companies, but the limit for small farms is 2 hectares. Now, we're coming up on the 8 o'clock news, after which, Shaoning, you're going to be speaking to Milko Papazov, ASEAN representative of the International Union of Railways, about a number of train issues, including the recent renegotiation of the East Coast Rail Link. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.